If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Scripture we just mentioned in this series on Sunday. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on with your neighbor, or we'll have it up on the screen. It says this, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." It's freedom in Christ. That's good, isn't it? "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Everybody say transformed. Or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now how many like that word glory? Doesn't that sound good? Glory. Going from glory to glory. But I know from experience, going from glory to glory does not always seem to be, through some part of it, glamorous or glorious. But in the end, it is. And with God's help and with His guidance, we end up glorious. And I feel like we're in a tremendous time of change. And we can certainly look at the world. How many know the world's messed up? They are flat messed up. And I hate to say it, much of the church is messed up too. But anyway, that's another sermon. But in the world, I mean, governments failing and chaos, business changing. I was reading the other day about Kodak. I mean, that has always been a strong company as I was growing up. I mean, one of the biggest companies in the world has been. You know, they're selling off parts and really don't even know if they're going to make it. And just the changing business conditions and the changing situation. How about technology? Anybody else get frustrated when you get your new cell phone and it's outdated in about a month? Or something new comes along? I mean, just so much change. It's just happening over and over, changing rapidly. And businesses are going out. They're not being able to be able to deal with it. Now, how about your world? Is there change in your world? I mean, you know, jobs, location. We have loved ones that have gone on. We have situations in our marriages, relationships ending. Hopefully you don't have any ending. New relationships being established. How many here maybe just turned 30, 40, or maybe someone's going to be 50 in November? Anybody you know? You know? We won't go beyond 50. But anyway, so change is all around us, and I believe we're going to see tremendous and astonishing changes here at Good News Church in 2012. I believe it'll be for the better. Although there may be times it may not look like it is, but I believe with God's help and guidance, it will be for good. I see changes for this ministry. Susie, for our marriage. It's our 25th anniversary this year. So there's going to be some good changes. For our family, for me personally, I'm really looking at things. Another one of those years I'm going to reinvent myself. By the end of the year, I'm going to be a different person. You'll still like me, though, but I'm going to be different. And, you know, just a lot of people I've been talking to. We just came back from Las Vegas for the AFCM leadership meeting. A lot of people there talking about change. And really, the whole meeting was about transition and change. So change, what change is? Change is the outward circumstances. Change is the event. Transition is the internal process that we go through to deal with change. So transition is the process of change. And so tonight's message is called, entitled, Transitioning Through Change. And this is going to be helpful for us. And maybe it won't mean anything to you. You may want to get the CD and put it on the shelf for later on. But how many here feel like they're going through change right now? How many feel like maybe they're going through change in more than one area? Lift up several hands. How about three? I can't do four, but... And you know, the more change you have, the more stress it adds. It's one thing dealing with one thing, but when you have two, three, four things, that's a lot of stress. Now, I heard this and read this the other day. Calm times Maybe you're going through a calm time. I hope you are. Calm times are only breathers between seasons of change. So it's the calm before the storm. You can choose to be calm even if things are in turmoil. And I love the that image of Jesus in the boat during the hurricane force winds. He's in the boat. The disciples are freaking out, which most people do during change. They freak out. Jesus is asleep in the boat. Calm. He's calm in the midst of turmoil. And that's really what the Lord wants for us through whatever we're going through. This change, if we're facing changes this year, He wants us to remain calm. Now, the bad news tonight, and this will hopefully be my only bad news, is the bad news is some of us here have not done well with some seasons of change in our lives. Don't raise your hand, but maybe made a lot of mistakes or just failed in the change. But the good news is everyone here has successfully managed and come through major change in your life. So is that good news? So you've done it before. If things are happening right now or will happen this year, you're going to make it through this. And with God's help, we're going to come through. You're going to come better, stronger on the other side. Now, I started writing down some tips on transitioning well, and I stopped at 14. And I'm not going to cover all 14 tonight. We'll go over some of them. But if you want all 14 of them, just send me an email and I'll send it off to you. But tip number one, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23, one of my favorite verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Tip number one, make a transition plan. Make a transition plan. I'm always big on the yellow legal pads. Not expensive. I've got hundreds at my house that need to be thrown out. But I mean, I just burn through them all the And they're just awesome things I'm writing on those legal pads. Susie wonders what I'm writing on the legal pads. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. So the Lord wants us to make plans. And I remember, when was it we took the Great American Road Trip, Susie? 2007. We took an awesome trip in 2007, and we went over 2,000 miles road trip. We left here, went to Louisville, up to Chicago, into Wisconsin, went to Minnesota, saw my family up there in the Twin Cities. Then we went to northern Minnesota to my folks' cabin for a few days. Then we left there and we went to St. Louis. And then we went from St. Louis down to Tulsa and we saw Oral Roberts University. And then we made the way back to North Augusta where we live. Now that was a great American tour. I recommend it. As long as everybody's getting along together. But Susie, I have this book that she made. She made an amazing book. And in it, she had listed all the places where we're going to go, all the motels, all the directions, all the places to see. I mean, it was a thick book. And you know, that book really helped me because it broke up the trip into pieces. Because the thought, now I love my family, but the thought of, was it five of us? Six of us. Six of us traveling together for over 2,000 miles. Over 3,000. Thank you, Susie. Over 3,000. I'm always conservative and she's just always out there. So, but 3,000. If you think it was, then fine. But over 3,000 miles, and I don't know about you, but you can go crazy together in your car. But just something helped me by having it broken up into steps. Because I can handle 300 miles. I can do 400 miles in my sleep. And I was sleeping part of the way on that trip. But to make plans, put it into steps. So whatever change you're going through, I recommend sitting down, making a plan, do the best you can, get input from all those that are involved. Write them down and make the best plan that you can make. Put it down on paper. It'll guide you. It'll give you peace. It'll help you along the way. Now, our plan was changed. Different places and different things happen. We got in Chicago and huge traffic things and all those different things happen. We were flexible. We were going with the flow. So there's going to be changes and adjustments. But it just really helped me to make a trip like that, to put it into steps and to put it into pieces. So I really recommend that you do that. Make a plan, write it down, put it down on paper. Eventually you're going to get there, and it's going to be glorious on the other side. Okay. The second one is just seems like a no-brainer, but so many people miss out on this one in dealing with transition. Get plenty of sleep. Eat well. Not meaning eat too much, but I mean eat well, eat good food, and get exercise. Because in times of change, there's a lot of stress. And stress can bring out the worst in you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It can bring out the worst in you. And so you have to do all you can naturally to just do what you can to help yourself dealing with things. And you may still have problems, and you may still have bad days in there, but overall, you're going to be in a better place to deal with things by doing those things. And last year, a lot of change, a lot of things happened. One of the big things that happened, we had our wedding last year of our daughter, Maddie Sue, did major things on our household, trying to do all the things with the wedding. Then just after the wedding, Susie and I went to Australia for a major trip. That was a 26-hour flight. And then when I got to Australia, I couldn't sleep. I probably got 2 hours of sleep, 2-3 hours of sleep every night. How many? Isn't that frustrating, just laying there in bed? How many like to do that? But I was physically, you like to do that, Sam? I was physically in good shape, and I was able to preach and meet people and do all the different things I had to do because my body was able to handle it. And going through the wedding, all the different things that happened there, just physically being in shape. So I just wanted to encourage you. And I really love this Team Lean thing. We're going to continue. I'm going to keep on doing Team Lean until Jesus comes. And then this year, I'm not planning on gaining as much weight at the end of the year, though, and pad my numbers. I'm going to just try to keep it off for the whole year. But it helps with your emotions. It helps with stress. And it will help you go through transitions. Now, this third one is probably where I think people make the most mistakes in dealing with change. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. This is the Message translation. It says this: refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says this: where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I think this is a big area for people. I don't know what it is, especially men. We don't like to get advice. You know, when we're driving, we don't like to get any advice about how we're driving. We don't like to stop and ask somebody directions. All the different things. But I think that we miss out on a lot of good wisdom by not talking with people. And so I encourage you, when you're going through change, because when you're going through change, you can make mistakes. I remember looking back in 1994 was a real season of frustration. Anybody ever been frustrated with their life? Frustrated with where things are going? Frustration is not a bad thing. Frustration may be an indicator change is about to come. And so you need to recognize that. But a lot of folks miss it when they're frustrated and go do something impulsively, or just because they don't want to, you know, deal with something, they'll make a rash decision. And that's when you need to go talk to somebody. Now if you're going to come to me, don't do this. Don't come and start off the conversation with "the Lord told me." Because if you're going to do that, we have nothing to talk about. But then we have the other scenario where they don't want to talk to me when they should talk to me. because they feel funny about their decision, but they don't want anybody to ask them any challenging questions. Can I get an amen or oh me? Or if you can't have challenging questions asked about your plan, or you're afraid, something's probably wrong. And we don't need to be afraid of that. And if you're so strong in what you believe, anybody can, you know, if God really told you and you're so confident in, so what's the problem with someone if they challenge you on it? But it just may be, they may ask a question, they may help you think about timing. Timing is everything. Or they may or maybe the thing you're talking about doing, and this is a good one, if you're going through a change in an area, find someone that's already been successful going through that and go talk to that person. Because when you do that and you're open to God, you'll walk out of there so encouraged, so strengthened. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And I can't tell you how many times, things that we've been confused about or didn't know what to do, and we sat down, either the two of us or had other people involved, and we started having a meeting, and you're like, this is hopeless. I have no idea what. And we just start talking, and all of a sudden an idea comes, and something sparked, and someone says this, and it's amazing, by the end of that meeting, the revelation that came from God. And so I just want to encourage you, don't be a Now, I'm not saying you have to talk to everybody. And there is bad advice. And there are people that you talk to that discourage you. And there are... Let me give you a little tip here. Don't go talk to people that make you feel bad all the time. Try to avoid those people. If they're constantly condemning you... Now, conviction is one thing. But if they every time you talk to them, you walk away with no hope, that's a problem. So get good counsel, get good advice, refuse good advice, and watch your plans fail. Now, I've got a lot of good advice over the years. I told you the story about me going in the Army when I was 18. I went to a military high school. I was planning to go to the Army to help pay for college. And my mom didn't feel good about the decision. I was just about to sign the dotted line. Isn't it amazing, the decisions? And no offense, Frank, that I didn't join the Army, okay? No offense there. Okay. And with the Army shirt, no, you know. But my mom didn't feel good about it, and she paid a counselor not to give, to tell me what to do, but I met him at a restaurant, we talked, and he told me what the Army was really like. Frank, did anybody tell you what the Army was really like? Are you glad? Because you're thriving. You're doing well. And, Frank's had a successful career and is and thriving there. But this guy told to me straight what it's like, and I just said, hey, that's not what the Army recruiter told me. He told me a whole different story. And I made a decision not to go, and I wasn't saved, and I didn't know how to pray about things and all the different things. But I'm just so glad I didn't go in the Army. I may not be here today. I don't know. But, that's one of those things. Different times I've called Jim Caseman, the head of AFCM. And, I try not to bother him and, different things. But I'll call him and I'll come away from the conversation with such peace. Had confusion, just upset about things and wondering what am I going to do? And just having somebody to talk to, even if they don't say anything, but have someone to listen to what you're saying. Now, this one, you're not going to like this one, but even talk to a lawyer. I've had lawyers have saved Good News Church several times. We had one situation, and it wasn't my doing, so there you go. But the enemy brought about a situation that if I didn't have the advice of lawyers, several lawyers, it really could have been big trouble. That's what the enemy had planned. But got some good counsel. Well, several times. Even just recently, within the last several years, I was dealing with a situation and had a great lawyer. And I won't tell you who it is, but he did the work for free. So God bless him. I didn't want him to do it. I was going to pay him, but he did it for free. But he gave me, he was one of these really dry guys. And, you know, I was thinking a certain way about what to do and how to go. And he just told me the facts of what really was going to happen. And my eyes were opened, and I realized I don't want to go in the direction I thought we needed to go in. And again, I believe he saved us from a lot of heartache. So you may need to talk to a lawyer. Not all lawyers, but some lawyers. You may need to talk to a paid counselor. I've talked to paid counselors. I've paid counselors to talk to them. And they've been a help and a blessing. So, you know, the Bible says that God resists the proud, the pride. He resists pride. And I don't know if it's really God resisting it or we're resisting him. But he gives grace. We've been talking about grace. That's what we need to change. That's the power to change. He gives grace to the humble. What is the humble? A humble person is someone that's teachable. Not gullible or not naive or just following anybody, but someone that's teachable, open to the Spirit of God, willing to listen and get your advice, and you still have to make a decision. Don't have people decide for you. I'm not saying that, but you can get some good counsel and get some good wisdom. I don't know about you, but that was a good thing for some folks here tonight. The next one is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I always have this for any message I ever do, so this has to be in there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and this is the Amplified Version. It says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." The heart is able, the word is able to get into your heart and to be able to discern what are your motives. What is really going on here? And, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. When you're under pressure, what's inside of you comes out. Have you been just shocked at the way people react in certain situations? What's in your heart? And so during the calm times, you need to put the word in there. During the tumultuous times, you need to put the word in there. But especially during times of transition and change, put the word in there because you're going to need it. Because there may be some dark days. There may be some lonely days. And I can't tell you how many times I've been laying there at night just stressed out, but then I just started rolling over the word. Usually in any situation that I'm dealing with, I always have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures, depending on the situation. I've had major times of transition where I've stood on one scripture, but I'll just take that scripture and let it just roll around in my mind, and it speaks to me at the midnight hour. And the same thing it did the first time I read it, it brings me peace, gives me, you know, helps me go to sleep. The word is so powerful. But to meditate on and to think on it. Now, this next one's one of my favorite. Jude 1, not Judd, but Jude 1, verse 20, Amplified, says this, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." One of my number one things, and I'm for this year, is to pray in tongues more. Susie and I went to 16 of Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings. Week-long meetings. Day and night meetings. And every time when we were coming back on the plane or driving back, the one thing I got out of the meeting was to pray in tongues. And so I just really recommend, and it's good during the calm times, But praying in tongues does so many good things. It quiets your mind from all the voices. Quiets your mind and gets you in a place to hear from God. I was praying in tongues today, and it was just like, you know, joy just bubbled up out of the inside of me. You ever done that? Tanya, you know what I'm talking about. You start laughing. Don't even know what I'm laughing at. Some of you need to laugh. But you tap into your spirit, you tap into your heart, and you pray in the spirit, and you pray with the understanding. But it builds you up, it strengthens you. Acts chapter 4 says that when they prayed together. What happened? Boldness. And to go through change and to deal with transitions, you need confidence, you need boldness to step out. And this is not a time of fear. This is a time for bold people. Now, I'm not saying change for the sake of change. That's not what I'm saying about. But the Lord speaks to us, and He's going to speak to us this year. He's going to show us some things. We can't back down. We've got to step out and be obedient. And we need to encourage each other in these things. But there's so many good things. I mean, when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. I mean, don't you want to be perfect in something? Perfect in at least just one thing? When you pray in tongues, you're praying perfect prayers. And you don't know what you're praying about. But I've never had a time when I'm not talking about sleeping. You know, if I say I'm praying, but I'm really sleeping. You know what I'm talking about there? How many we've done that? But when I'm really engaged, and I'm focused on what I'm doing and praying in tongues, there's never been a time where I haven't been energized, encouraged, strengthened. And then the awesome times is when revelation comes, is when because you quiet down the voices and the Lord will begin to show you things. I love that. See, He's got a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's got a way. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're dealing with, God's got a way. And He sent the Holy Spirit. Think about that. He sent the Holy Spirit to come. God's living on the inside of me. And when you pray in tongues, you can tap into that. Because a lot of our decisions are emotional. Some of our decisions are rational, which is fine. We need to think about things. But the best decisions are the ones that come in from the inside to our minds. Revelation from the Spirit of God. And God's got some things for us this year. So I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can pray with you tonight. Just come up and ask me after service, or Kristen, or Susie, or Eddie, or Carol, or Neil, or Georgette, or Jason, or Eric, or, you know, the whole bunch of us. Gary, Brenda, ask us, and we'll get you, you'll be filled on the spot. Begin to speak in other tongues. Hey, I don't have a problem, about as far as speaking in tongues. I've got a master's degree. I'm educated well beyond my intellect. I got so much education and things that I've read, but I mean, praying in tongues, I know it sounds like gibberish and it's another language. I don't understand the words, but I tell you, it's changed my life. And I tell you, I think it's one of the keys into the supernatural. It's one of the keys into the gifts of the Spirit. It's one of the keys into being led by the Spirit of God. And you know, there's times when, you know, as far as prayer time, I mean, today, I worked out today. Gary, I didn't want to work out. My body was saying, don't go work out, just eat some brownies. You'll feel better. Is this after praying in tongues or before? But I went and worked out. I didn't feel that great going in. But man, after I worked out, woo, I was feeling good. Those endorphins were kicking in. And man, I was feeling good. Who needs drugs when you got working out? Who needs alcohol when you can go work out at the Y? Who needs brownies? But praying in tongues is just really encourage you. Step out. You haven't done it. Try it for 5 minutes. And it's like running, jogging. You know, you kind of work your way up 5, 10. You can go half an hour. And when you build your way up, and it's nothing. An hour. But it's a really, it's a benefit to you. Tip number 6. Amos 3:3. Who's read Amos this week? Anybody? Nobody. Okay, well, we'll read the scripture in Amos. Amos 3:3 Amplified says, "Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed." This tip is over-communicate during times of transition. Over-communicate. Talk it out. Talk to your mate. Talk to people that are involved. Anticipate any kind of questions. Talk about it and find, questions. And you may not know the answer, but then you can get the answer. And this is especially true for any organization. If you're in an organization going through any transition or change, you need to communicate, over-communicate, communicate it in 1,000 ways. Talk about it. Because if you don't, again, communication brings agreement. And we all know the power of agreement over in Matthew 18. If two of you touch and agree on anything, it will be done by my Heavenly Father. Why do you think that the enemy tries to divide us in our marriages? One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Our agreement brings 10 times the spiritual power by coming together. What would happen if we all came together? If we all came together, we would have what the Bible says, one accord. Now, I don't know if you've read, I've done this. I've gone through and found all the places in the book of Acts, probably about 5 or 6 places in the book of Acts. Every time it said one accord, there was miracles, there was people being saved. Big things happened. And so why does the enemy want to bring offense and strife, division? What is division? Division, die, vision, two visions. That's why you got to communicate and come together. What? I don't know why I'm standing over by you guys tonight. What are we doing?
That's right.
And are we in agreement on these things? Are we talked it out and in your agreement? Because if you're not in agreement, you're not going to have the full power of what the Lord would have for you. So, and I'm not saying, marriage counseling is for you. I mean, I don't know about that. But I'll tell you this. If I could pay somebody whatever it is, $50, $60 an hour, and they'd help with agreement in my home, it would be well worth it. It would be worth $100. It would be worth $200 to have agreement in your home. Because agreement brings peace. How many want just a little peace? But to be able to communicate, and none of us have been really trained on this, but I love what it says over in Acts. This is over in Acts 4 again, after they prayed in the Spirit. They prayed together, and the building shook, and then they had great boldness. But then you keep on reading down there, it says there was great grace upon them. And then it goes on to say, there was no lack. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some no lack. I'm ready for the people of Good News Church, some of the people of Good News Church, to just not be getting by or to be going backwards. I've been speaking, this is what I've been saying, some outrageous things in my prayer time about you. I've been speaking no lack. I've been speaking abundance. I've been saying astonishing things happening in the financial area. And I get so excited. I mean, you know, I try to be in the, you know, the way in some other part of the house, but I mean, I get passionate when I'm praying. You know what I'm talking about, Gary? Tom, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you get passionate. You're declaring things because you know what you're saying. It shall come to pass. And then I always tack on Ephesians 3:20. Super abundantly, more than we dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray. It's time for breakthrough in the financial area. It's time for raises and promotions and investments to go. My brother Pat called me today with a stock tip. He's never called me with a stock tip. Get this story. You know, my brother Pat, he just lives an exciting life. One of his many jobs, he does all these kind of different things. He fills in as a limo driver. If you know him, it just fits perfectly with what just his life. You know, just one of the things he does, just for excitement. So he was telling me he went to pick up this person at a private airport. And, you know, he was telling me all the celebrities that just came in, you know, so, you know, Pat's in the middle of all that. Well, he picks up this guy and he says to him, hey, I'm Pat Judd. And the guy says, no way. He says, I'm Jack Judd. I'm Jack Judd. And we find out that he's related to us. We didn't even know it. My grandfather, his brother, is the grandfather of Jack Judd. And Jack Judd is just about 50. I looked him up online, and I'm better looking than him, so there you go. But he's the CFO of this company that started 10 years ago with 10 employees doing $1 million. 10 years later, they have, 5,500 employees and doing $100 million. And so he's telling Pat, he says, they're going public next week. He says he thinks it's going to go to $1 billion. So I'm taking money after service tonight for all those. But why not me? We just need to be open to the Spirit of God. Hey, we were in Las Vegas. There's no shortage of money. They got people out there blowing money more than our revenue in a year. So why shouldn't some of those funds be here at Good News Church and be in our lives? Well, Pastor, I'm satisfied with what I'm... Hey, that's fine, but why don't you believe God for extra $50,000 each for Good News Church? I mean, you live whatever level. I mean, that's fine. But why don't you have some extras coming in? Because we got big plans. Hey, we're going global. Global. Don't give me that look, Susie. All that was about communication. The next one, which is a big mistake people make, do not burn bridges. Do not just resist the urge to burn bridges with any job, any family member, whatever, all those different situations, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to go back and ask them for a favor. So my motto, whenever if I was leaving a place, is always to finish strong. Finish strong. And make them so upset that you're leaving that they're crying when you're walking out the door, because they're going to miss you so much. But we have this tendency where we quit like a year, 6 months, 3 months before we leave. We quit. And what kind of testimony is that? Because I thought we were working for the Lord. So people at Good News Church, because you know me, what do? We finish strong. And we don't burn bridges. Because how you leave is how you enter the next situation. And how you leave, you're sowing seed for where you're going. So I want the next place that I'm going to be blessed. I want to enter blessed. So I want to sow a whole lot of good seed. You need to get this message for any kind of employees that you may have. Just that part. Not that they're leaving, but if they do, then... Now, this is a good one. Take time to say goodbye to the past. Take some time to say goodbye to the past and get ready for the future. And one of the examples that I have for this is, every year we go to the mountain. We go to the mountain in the fall. You know what going to the mountain is? The mountain is a lake in Georgia. And we go to the mountain and we talk about this pet the last year. Susie and I do this. We talk about the last year and ask up all kind of questions and what went well, what didn't, all these different things. And then we make the transition. We start off there and talk about all these different things. Then we need to make the transition and start looking towards the future. And it gets just so exciting as we talk about what's in store for this next year. And I hate to say it, but we didn't go to the mountain until January. And I had some really rough months, November, December, because we didn't go to the mountain. So, yeah, so we need to go to the mountain. This year, make plans to go to the mountain earlier. It's all your fault. That was conviction, not condemnation. Okay. But one of the difficult things that we dealt with was our Susie's father going to heaven. He had a stroke. Took care of him for several years. About two and a half years. And I don't know if you ever had this kind of situation, but it was just physically, emotionally exhausting, the situation. And he went on to heaven. Thank God, he's in heaven, well and whole. But after that whole situation, we were just wiped out. So what we did is we went to West Virginia to a resort. And it was great driving up there, all the thing we did, driving up there, and just the whole family and Martha, we all went up there, got away, you know, had fun, ate meals, you know, fancy meals, all the different kind of things. But it was just so good to, well, first of all, just reflecting, you know, about where we had come from, but then where we were going. And one of the highlights, and you're going to, and this needs to be edited from the radio, but one of the highlights of this resort thing was the spa treatment. And we had this treatment, or at least I did. I don't know about them. It was called the Scottish spray, Susie? Scotch spray. Frank? It really helped me with the transition. Because you stand there with no clothes on, and they spray you with a fire hose. Full of scotch. Yeah. It hurts. I'm going, I'm paying for this? The guy's just smiling. He's just, and I think he just punished me. Well, they can't hear this on the radio, but I was standing like this. But in some kind of sick way, that helped me with the transition. I was a different man. So we may do that on our friend day. I don't know. But that marked my thinking.
You didn't know it was going to happen.
I didn't know. I would if I would have known. I'll never again. Right, yeah, that was poor communication on that one. But I mean, like a honeymoon is that situation. I mean, you got saying goodbye to the past and to the future. As Susie, I think we need another honeymoon. 25 years. So what we need to do, we need to have another honeymoon and say goodbye to the last 25 and look forward to the next 25. But I've got good news for you because I believe in finishing strong. I'll let that just sink in for a minute. Okay. People are like, get me out of here. I tell you, if you work out, those endorphins, man. I'm feeling good tonight. No scotch. I'm just like, man. Okay, the last one is, do your best to enjoy the ride. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, and be not grieved and depressed. That's a good word. Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Just be flexible. And I know it's tough. I know people here tonight, I mean, I know some of your situations, it's been tough. But I just want to tell you, for those going through things, you're going to come through it. You're going to come through it, and you're going to come through on the other side, and you're going to be alive and well, and it will be glorious. God's going to help you. And I know right now it may seem like I have no idea, but I tell you, I just know. I mean, with God, all things are possible. And he's got a promise. He said he would transform us from glory to glory. Not from glory to mess. Glory to glory. And I don't use these words in my life about going through a valley. If you're in a valley, you know, it says in the valley that, you know, he'll let you sit at the table in the presence of your enemies. In a valley, you're going through, and it's temporary. And he's got joy for you, and you're going to laugh again sooner than you think. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's stand, everybody. My watch is slow, no wonder. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're helping us, showing us things to come. Helping us through transition. And I just thank you for the people of Good News Church. We're going from glory to glory. We're growing up in all things. This is an astonishing year. Miracles and signs and wonders and blessings overtake the people of Good News Church. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, I know in Luke 4, if anybody here tonight that's brokenhearted, I just speak in the name of Jesus. For that heart to be healed right now. Even in a tangible way, for the love of God just to come right now and to bring healing, to heal hurts, and to strengthen in the peace of God and torment from the enemy. You go right now in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off God's property. Be able to sleep tonight and sleep well and wake up refreshed tomorrow. We thank you for it, Father. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.